This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, you're listening to The Morning Run on BFM 89.9, the business station. 7:35 on Friday, the 13th of May. I'm Melissa Idris with Sharad Gutten and Ibrahim Sani. Ibrahim, what do we have as the biggest business news today?
So we got Nissan buying out Mitsubishi. We got more stories on 1MDB. Apparently the money is being used for some Hollywood production, as well as RHB and Mass as well.
Okay, well...
Allegedly.
Okay, well, let's start off in Singapore, where Noble Group is based. So Noble Group is Asia's largest commodities trader, and they have arranged for two credit facilities totaling $3 billion. However, it is reported that this figure, this $3 billion figure, is said to be below the amount that they initially wanted to raise.
Yeah, so the loan is in the form of an unsecured loan. At least $1 billion is from it, and as much as $2.5 billion will be from the borrowing base facility. Now, remember that Noble Group was one of the major traders, in not just in Asia, but also the world. Mm-hmm. But of late, three major rating agencies have put them down. S&P and Moody's have cut their credit rating to junk. Fitch Ratings have placed the company on negative watch. And this is following the stock falling about 65% last year and another 10% this year. So it's huge kind of crisis that Noble Group is actually facing.
Well, they were removed from the from Singapore's Blue Chip Straits Times Index, the STI. Also, I think... they had a scandal, an accounting scandal, and then they had to face that commodities price rout. So that was another huge impact to the company. And I'm just wondering whether this is going to be another tough year for this commodities trader. Because although we have seen some recovery in commodities prices, what has truly changed? Mm-hmm. Nothing, right? Global demand is still very slow. So in terms of a bounce in, say, iron ore prices, that could just be a blip in the radar.
In fact, we have a glut in coal production, right? And we see dramatic changes in China as a consequence of this slowdown. China, of course, has been a major consumer of those commodities, things that are listed under commodities that Noble Group trades in, including aluminium, copper, zinc, lead, you know, bauxite. All these things are really a kind of barometer of the kind of industrial base of the world economy, isn't it? We see so much movement because China was, you know, at one point seeking out new market sources for these commodities, you know, going to the African continent. Yeah. And all the relationships that were engendered as a consequence of this commodity, the search for commodities.
You know, based on my discussion with Tim Mulholland this morning, he's arguing that this low prices in the commodities is unsustainable. Eventually, it will rise up. Maybe not to the highs that we saw before, but high enough to actually prop up some commodity companies. So I think that while Noble Group is actually facing a tough time in trying to secure money, in trying to secure challenges, I think they can get better sales this year.
But Ibrahim, I mean, what's changed? I don't see anything fundamentally changing about the commodity sector to justify the rise in prices. So I honestly think the rally in commodities may not have the legs that all the analysts are saying.
Yeah. So this is the bet, right? analysts normally say one thing and the market goes the other.
Well, you know, if you take I guess it's how long you're looking at it. If you're taking a short-term view, perhaps, you know, a recovery is underway. But perhaps in a longer term, could this be the end of that decade-long commodities boom?
And some traders do see a short-term. In fact, gold is always seen as an arbitrage currency. They always buy gold short-term and then sell it the moment it rises a bit. So I guess, yeah, you're right, Melissa. Sharad as well.
It's where you're standing,
yeah,
right?
Where you're standing.
So let's see whether this credit facility for Noble Group is more than just a band-aid for the company. 7:39 right now, Nissan Motors is buying a 34% stake in its rival Mitsubishi Motors for $2.2 billion. Now, this is massive because Nissan effectively has de facto control over its rival. Here's Carlos Ghosn, Nissan's CEO, talking about how the opportunities of this deal far outweighs the risks.
I would not be putting 237 billion yen in a company if I was not optimistic about the prospect of the company. So I'm voting with the money of Nissan. So I believe there is a lot of potential in cooperation with Mitsubishi. This being said, there is not only positive synergies, there are also some risks. But the opportunities by far outweigh the risk, and particularly, well, the risk is not to make the changes. But it's impossible not to make the changes because we're going to have 34% of the company. So we're going to make sure change will happen.
Nissan CEO Carlos Ghosn there talking about how now he has effective control over his rival Mitsubishi, which, if you remember, has been hit by that scandal that after confessing they manipulated fuel data.
If you're trying to figure out his accent, Carlos Ghosn apparently is French, Lebanese and Brazilian.
Wow.
Oh, there you go.
So that's the
what
mix.
I couldn't place him. Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, I thought he was going to be Filipino. Yeah, he might be
like
Filipino.
Carlos,
So
falling back to the Japanese incorporated, caught in scandals left and right. I mean, Fujitsu was caught in a scandal. Mitsubishi's caught in a scandal. And what this puts them is that not only is the brand reputation being suffered, but they put themselves at risk by being bought over by the competitors. And Nissan is just being a very market-driven economy kind of company.
It's a very strategic move, I have to
say.
Look, Mitsubishi lost almost $3 billion off its market value following that scandal. Nissan, which is traditionally struggling to make inroads into Southeast Asia, a market that Mitsubishi is strong in, places like Thailand, like the Philippines, they say, okay, why not? This is an opportunity. Let's buy into our rival.
Yeah, and Mitsubishi has a long history. Remember World War II, the Japanese Zero planes? It was built by Mitsubishi Motors, right?
Really?
For them to actually buy this company at a controlling stake, because in Japanese law, if you have more than 33% or more than one third, you have controlling stake. For them to buy it at $2.2 billion, that's a steal, if I may add, you know.
Okay, you say it's strategic, but isn't it in some sense hostile? And then the question is, who benefits? And how is the integration of these two former rivals now under one umbrella going to pan out? I mean, sometimes companies buy rivals only in order, specifically to kill them off. And sometimes along with it, the technologies, are we going to look at job losses and such, right?
I also think this is also a numbers game, a game of size, right? So trying to consolidate your position within the auto industry to pose a true threat, a competition to the bigger players within the global car market. Toyota is the leader in this segment. Toyota's first, VW is second, if I'm not mistaken, and yeah, General Motors comes in at third. So Nissan, which has already a tie-up with Renault, now has a stake in Mitsubishi. So this Nissan, Mitsubishi, Renault kind of coalition could give the other car makers a chase for their money.
So the question is, on the retail end of it, what do they do? If the both cars still exist in the market, I mean, are they still going to be competing against each other? Are they going to be basically, what kind of marketing strategy are they going to be for the cars if your rival is no longer your rival?
You're right, because the top three car companies in the world, Toyota, VW and GM, has solo brands, right? That means there's no two types of cars in a Toyota showroom. Both of them will be Toyota. And this Renault, Nissan, Mitsubishi will be very different in that way, because they're actually selling three different cars but same one company group. So on the consumer end, you might not see the differentiation of that company, but from the company's end, perhaps this is where they would compete in competition within themselves. So I'm sure there's a head of sales of Renault, there will be a head of sales of Nissan, head of sales of Mitsubishi, and they will just...
Okay, but to counter that, I think that there could be, in a way, some synergy. So Mitsubishi could sell Nissan cars using the badge, the Nissan badge, for instance. There could be some kind of cross collaboration, marketing, opening offices, showrooms, sales galleries, and all that. That could be some kind of, I think, in a small way, working together might help them rather than hurt them.
You know, not forgetting Tesla, right? I mean, they might go big.
Oh,
in
you
got to
throw that in through
yeah,
the
yeah,
mix.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Elon Musk all around.
Tesla's now part of the car makers. Yeah. Okay, 7:44 right now. More business news coming up in just a few minutes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.